All right, good morning. He is all we need. If you have a Bible this morning, take that Bible and I'm going to be in several different places, but I want to start out in Hebrews. If you take your Bible and turn to Hebrews chapter 11, sort of as a form of introduction before we go to our verse. Hebrews chapter 11. We're going to be in verse 1, if you turn there. The Bible says this. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. The Bible says now faith is the substance. Substance is something that you can physically hold on to. Amen? Faith isn't what this world has. This world has a blind leap. But we don't have a blind leap of faith. What we have is we have rational, measured steps of faith. And they make up a walk. Amen? Take your Bible and just flip one page over and look at verse 25 of chapter 11. Hebrews 11:25 says this, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than enjoy the pleasure of sin for a season. Amen? When times are hard, I'd rather go through hard times with my brothers and sisters in Christ. Amen? I'd rather go through hard times with people who'll say, hey, I'm praying for you. You know what you need right now? You need someone to say to you, I love you, and I'm praying for you. Amen? That's better than what this world has. This world has a hope to be, or a might be, or a could be, or sure wish it would be. They don't have what we have. We have a peace and a comfort which lies within Jesus Christ. And the Holy Spirit which lies within us. Amen? And you say, okay, I want to have a measured walk. I want to have a steps of faith. I want to have a walk closer to Christ. How do I get that? Well, you use Jesus as your example. Look at chapter 25 or chapter 12 of Hebrews and look at verse 1. It says this, it says, as Jesus is the example, it says this, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witness, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience. I'm going to read that again. Run with patience. I'm going to read it one more time for everybody that ignored the patience part. Run with patience. The race that is set before us. I got to tell you, there's been many times when I've looked down, or I've run into steps, or I've come up a chairlift where I've said, I don't like the race that's been put before me. But Lord, it's the race you've put before me. And Lord, with measured steps of faith, with practical steps of faith, Lord, I will take those steps with you. Amen? You say, what is that? That's a walk with God. You know what that does? That pleases God. I take your Bible. We'll be in chapter Genesis chapter 5. Let's turn over there. Genesis chapter 5. Let me give you just a little bit of a background while you're turning over there to Genesis chapter 5. I know you have a great Bible preacher here, a Bible teacher here. And a great pastor. And so I know you know these things, but let me just give you a small rundown before I read the verse, our text today. And so in Genesis chapter 3, we see the temptation of Eve. You don't have to turn there. You see the temptation of Eve and the fall of Adam to sin. There's the dispensation of consciousness comes to light. And by Genesis chapter 4, Eve gives birth to two sons. You know the story here, Cain and Abel. And Cain kills Abel. Abel was willing to serve God the way his father taught him. Cain wanting to only serve his self-interests. So you get a good picture of the two different walks that are there. And then Cain murders Abel. Cain is exiled by God from his family. He travels to the land of Nod where he builds a city. unlike anything that anybody had ever seen before. It was just a, it was an ungodly, horrible, absolute opposite of what Eden was. And then at the end of Genesis chapter 4, in verse 25, Seth is born to Eve. And here we are now in Genesis 5, and many call this the doom and gloom chapter, and a lot of times they'll point to Genesis 5:5, and they'll point to where Adam dies there. But that's not what I want to focus on today. I want to focus on the bright spot, which is Genesis 5:21. And let me read down through there. It says, "And Enoch lived 65 years and begat Methuselah. And Enoch walked with God." You see that? Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. I'd like to ask my first Bible teacher and first pastor, Pastor Jim Williams, sir, would you please open in prayer and ask the Lord to bless this message? Yes. Yes. Amen. Now, in Genesis 5:21 and 24, we see here that Enoch lived in a time of great sin and degradation. The degradation is a trail of just human misery. And you know, a lot of times we look at the world out there today and we focus on the news channels, or we focus on the things, but for the most of us, we don't live in that trail of degradation. Most of us live above that, and we're almost like on a bridge looking down on top of it. Most of us don't live in slums. Most of us don't live in crime-ridden areas. Most of us don't live in an area where there's a high concentration of lasciviousness out in the open that where we can see. Most of us don't even see that unless we go looking for it. Amen? And if you spend a lot of time on Fox News and the rest of those things, you're actually looking to see that kind of stuff. Amen? You want to avoid that stuff, don't turn it on. Yeah. Amen? Amen? You say, well, I won't be informed about the world. Great! Amen. Because you'll have more time to focus on the Lord. You know what I believe about Enoch? I don't believe that Enoch walked home every night, went in, sat down on the couch, and watched 6 hours of Fox News. I don't think Enoch was concerned with what was coming out of the land of Nod, because he already knew what it was all about. I think Enoch just focused on the Lord. In fact, the Bible says he did. And you know what? It pleased God. You say, how did Enoch please God? He focused on Him. He made God the center of his life. Enoch knew well the high cost of walking close to a righteous God. Enoch's righteous walk was steeped in humbleness. Amen? You want to have a close walk with the Lord, you know what it takes? It takes humbleness. We were just out on the mission field. We were in New Mexico. And on the way out there, the roof just blows back on our camper. This just blows up. I mean, you know, just blows up on that thing. And so here we are down in Texas. It's 109 degrees. We're in a truck stop surrounded by trucks. It's, you know, it's just a absolute chaos. And Miss Yoakum says to me, I've got to go up on the roof and take a look at this thing. And I said, you're not getting up on the roof. I'm not going to, you could fall off. You could, you know, anything. You're not getting up there. Listen, what was the problem was my pride. What I was really saying is, you're not going to get up on the roof and have all these men see me sitting down here while a woman is up there on the roof. And the Lord said to me, your stinking pride's in the way. She's willing and able to go up there and photograph what's going on that roof. Now, you can sit here with a tore-up camper, or you can find out what's going on and put some pride away. And so you know what I had to do? I had to put some pride away. You know what that was? That was humbling. Yeah. And I prayed the whole time that she was up there, Lord, walk with her. And she did a wonderful job. That's out of her wheelhouse. She's not a mechanic. That's completely out of her wheelhouse. You know what? But with modern technology, you know what she'd do? She'd take pictures, she'd send them back down to me, and I was able to look and see what was going on. And long story short, we were able to go and stop at a place where we were to buy the materials that we needed. And she went back up on the roof, and she was able to patch it down good enough to get us back home, 1,500 miles. But I had to put some pride away. I had to walk close with God, but I had to put some pride down. Take your Bible and look quickly at 1 Peter 5:5. 1 Peter 5:5. I'm going to move a little quickly, so you just keep turning. 1 Peter 5:5 says this, likewise, you younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Boy, that's hard, isn't it? Woo! Man, most churches, it just go flat quiet when you got a lot of young kids there. Yeah. They know more. They're smarter. Heck, I got one when he was 14. I wanted to hire him out to NASA because I just knew that he knew more than anybody in the world. It says, likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you, be subject one to another and be clothed with humility, for God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Man, pride's ugly, isn't it? Pride's ugly. Humble yourself. How? Cast your care on God. Amen? Cast your care on God. Enoch wasn't raptured because he was in the body of Christ. Do you understand that? Enoch had great faith, but it wasn't because he was saved. Some of those folks out there, they'll teach that. But Enoch did something in order to be raptured out. You say, what did Enoch do? Enoch walked with God. Luckily, we're in the body of Christ. If you're here and you're saved, if there's been a time in your life when you've trusted Jesus Christ, you're signed, sealed, and delivered right there in Jesus Christ. Amen. The nice thing about Noah was, I tell folks all the time, I said, do you believe Noah was in the ark? And they go, yep, I sure do. And I say, do you believe that while he was running around inside that ark feeding those animals, I said, do you think he ever just fell down the steps or messed around? And they said, well, yeah. And I said, see, he fell down, but he never fell out. Amen? In this walk of faith, you know what we'll do? We'll fall down, but we will not fall out. I'm glad of that. Somehow, I'm being selfish, and I'm joking when I say this. But somehow, I always think that when the Lord put the plan of salvation together, He thought about me. He thought, we've got to do something, because if we don't, Dave Yoakum will never make it. We have to make it easy. We have to make it permanent, because once we get Him, we're going to have to hold on to Him. Amen? You say, what is that? I know me. I know me. Let me give you a few things. Turn back to Hebrews chapter 5, if you would. I'm going to have you flip, so just hold your place there. Hebrews chapter 5. I'm sorry, yes. Hebrews chapter 11, 5. Now, this is Enoch's testimony that's recorded by God. Look at verse 5. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not, because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. That's not Enoch's testimony. That's not him standing up in church and going, I'd like to testify, I please God. That's God writing it down in his book saying, you know that boy Enoch? He was pleasing to me. What a testimony. I love that. I'd love to be found like that. Amen? You know what I find trips me up so much? This world and my focus on that world instead of the focus on that world. Focus on Him. You know what I find out? I find when I'm focused on the Lord, I'm much happier. I don't have much stress when I'm focused on the Lord. It's when I start to take those blinders off and I start to see all that's around me. I was complaining about something to Miss Yoakum the other day about something that I read and how it had upset me and something that was going on in the world. And she looked at me and she goes, "Can't do anything about it." And I went, "You're right. You're right." I had some folks ask me one time, they said, "Why does God allow all these wicked people just to live until they're old, just this old age, and they're just old and wicked and wicked?" I said, "I'll tell you why. God's not dealing with them. He already knows where they're headed. They're headed to the white throne judgment of God. They're going to die, they're going to go to hell, and then they're going to face Him at the white throne judgment. I think He's given them as much chance as He can to get saved." You know who He's dealing with right now? Christians. He's dealing with us. You know why? Because the next thing in line is for us to be raptured out of here and go to be with Him at the judgment seat of Christ. Amen. He's trying to prepare you for the judgment seat of Christ now. He's not dealing with this lost world. But the problem is we focus on this lost world when we should be focusing on what's next for us. Amen? Listen, I want you folks to get saved. You are a complete lascivious mess. But I got to deal with me right now because I'm next in line to see Him. And so here's the deal. You need to receive Christ. You need to be saved and have heaven as your home. But right now, I need to focus on me and my walk with Jesus Christ. Amen? Listen, that's what Enoch faced. Do you think Enoch didn't face anything as bad as what we see today? It was horrible. You know why? He didn't have a law. He didn't have a government set up to kind of hold that thing in.
Yeah, amen.
He didn't have the Word of God being spread around to kind of damper some of that. It was just pure lasciviousness.
Yep.
Thank you. That help? Amen. Christ didn't stop me in the middle of that. Enoch was a man who was familiar with God. In Genesis chapter 5, verse 24, it says, Enoch walked with God. You know what that was? That was a directional walk. Amen? He walked with God. Enoch went where God went, and in the direction that God was going. You see that? Enoch's walk was a directional walk. It wasn't just all over the place. It wasn't just scatterbrained. It was directional. And it was simple. He just followed God. How easy can it get? It's like GPS today. Don't listen to GPS because I think half the time it's wrong. But it's like GPS in a way. It's, you know, it's a God directional thing. Just follow Him. Just walk how He walks. That's what Enoch did. Enoch saw Him and he went, "I'm going to walk like that." See, I don't think Enoch walked side by side with God. I think he just walked right in behind Him. Got right in there. I think that depending how you were standing and you began to look at Enoch, it says Enoch was not. I think there was people out there that went, "I can't tell the difference of where God starts in Enoch." Amen? You know what that was? That was a familiarity with God. How familiar are you with God? Enoch wasn't a freelancer. Enoch wasn't a lone wolf, right? Amen? Enoch was so familiar with God, it was hard to just tell the two apart. They were inseparable. You know what? It was a distinction, the distinction of his walk. The distinction of his walk. Enoch was not. You know what Enoch was not? Enoch was not conformed to this world. Enoch didn't worry about gold and government and guns and gays and gallows. Enoch focused on God. He had a direction in his walk. He had a distinction in his walk. When he got out to walk in the morning, people went, "Yeah, there's Enoch." Well, how do you know? How can you see that far? I can tell by his walk. I can tell by his walk. Let me ask you this. Can this lost world tell you by your walk? I didn't say that you're out there shoving a track in their face. There's nothing wrong with that kind of witnessing. I'm saying, can they tell you without ever talking to you that you're a Christian? You know how, I've been in restaurants before and I've looked over and there's two people over there bowing and praying over their food. You know what I know? I know that they're probably saved. I know that they're probably in their Bible. I know they're probably in church somewhere. Because most folks that have the willing to pray over their food in a restaurant are following the Lord the best they can. Might not be lined up perfectly the way you are. They might not be Bible scholars like you are. But they're brother and sister in Christ, and they're doing the best they can to follow the Lord the best they can. Amen? Amen. It was a familiar walk. It was a familiar walk. There was also the duration of his walk. Enoch walked with God through the vilest that this sin-soaked world had to offer. Listen, he was faithful for 300 years. 300 years. He was focused for 300 years. But he was fortified in God. That's how he did it for 300 years. Listen, I've done a little bit of studying on the Old Testament and how some of those, the land of Nod was in those days. It was wicked. You know what Enoch never lost? He never lost his joy for being in God. We've lost that. We carry a great big sword and real little joy. And most people don't want red meat out of the Bible. They want red blood. Amen? I've heard some folks say, "Well, I like to study red meat." Well, you want the red meat because you want to draw red blood somewhere. You're not drawing the red meat to try and draw closer to God. You're wanting to stick somebody. I had a man at the nursing home. His name was Jackie. And for about three and a half years, I went and witnessed to Jackie. And I sat with him and took him through the Bible and loved him. And, you know, I got so close to him where I'd almost hug him and pat on him and just tried to show him love and care. And he never would get saved, and you know, I wasn't going to force a confession out of him, and I probably could have, and I could probably have said, "Okay, I'm going to pray, and you know, if you even think that you might have, just say that, and I'll knock you down as you've gotten saved." I didn't do any of that. I wanted it to be his decision. But then the Lord called us to the mission field, and I knew we were leaving the nursing home. And Miss Yoakum can attest to this. I was distraught over leaving Jackie because I knew he wasn't saved. The last couple of weeks that we were at the nursing home, I would not even go into his room. I'd go to his door, I'd knock on that door, and I'd look in there, and I'd see him sitting in that old green recliner, and I'd say, "Jackie, receive or reject Jesus Christ." He'd say, "Well, I think I'll reject." I'd say, "Okay, Jackie, I may be here next week. We're getting ready to go to the mission field. Jackie, I don't know if I'll ever see you again." The last week that I was there, I went up and down that hall. Bang on that door. I look in there. I went, "Jackie, receive or reject." That's how it came. It went from, "Here's all these Bible verses. Here's all this mercy. Here's all this grace. Here's all this love. Let me show you all this." It all came down to one thing. "Jackie, receive or reject. Christian, it's the same with your walk with God. Receive it or reject it. You're saved. You're headed to heaven. You'll stand before God at the judgment seat of Christ. You'll give account for everything that you ever did, good or bad, in this body after you got saved. But right now, in this time period, at the age that you are now, in the conflict that we live in, receive or reject a walk with Jesus Christ. Now, we either get serious about this thing or we just float on out of here. But we will stand in judgment before God and we will give an account. Now, we tell that to sinners all the time. Well, you're going to give an account. Well, Christian, so are you. You say, what is that? That's what Enoch preached. I believe it. I believe Enoch preached that to the people that were lost and the people that were doing the sacrifices and doing right. That he could see they were just following through. Hey, we're not checking boxes here. Went to church. Went to Wednesday night. Man, this is about our walk with Jesus Christ, our personal fellowship with Him, our relationship with Him now. Enoch was familiar with God, but Enoch was also favored by God. Enoch was favored by God because why? He pleased with God. He pleased God. Hebrews 11:5. Let me just read that real quick. Hebrews 11:5 says this. He had a testimony that he pleased God. Enoch lived in a world where it would have been very difficult to please God. You know, I don't understand it. Most Christians, most Bible-believing Christians, they know the book. But do they apply the book? I'm serious. We're so good at focusing on elections and so focused on other things like that. And man, we won't focus on ourselves and our own day-to-day, step-by-step walk with the Lord. Say, who are you preaching at this morning? Me! Me! I'm over myself sometimes.
Amen.
You know what? And this is heresy in most independent Bible-believing Baptist churches, but there are two Bible versions. Amen? There's the King James 1611 Bible, which Brother Williams taught me is the perfect Word of God. Amen. And then God sealed that in my heart.
Amen.
But then there's this second version out there that this lost world sees when they look at you. That's the version they think you're reading. You understand that? I'm a King James 16 Bible believer. Does your neighbor believe it?
Yeah.
The people down the street believe it? Do they see it? Does God see it? How close is your walk with Him? I preached a message not long ago where I told folks, I said, you know what I wish people would do for a while? I wish they'd put the tracks down. Now, follow me. I'm not against tracks. Don't run out here and say, see, that's one of the things. Brother Yoakum said he hates tracks. No, Brother Yoakum didn't say that. You know what I know works? Personal witness. Hey, can I just tell you what Jesus Christ has done for me? I mean, I've been in a wheelchair for almost 40 years. Almost 40 years. Can I just tell you how I've survived 40 years? Can I tell you what Jesus Christ has done for me in those 40 years? Can I tell you about how I'd wake up crying in the middle of the night, and how he'd come and he'd put his arm around me and he'd just love on me right there and give me peace and give me comfort? Can I just tell you how he gave me a wife? Because one day I prayed, "Lord, if you give me somebody, I'll love them." And he went, "Okay." How he gave me two boys that are saved, that are good to me. Can I just tell you how Jesus Christ has never left me, and he's never forsaken me. And through the hardest, darkest periods of my life, has drawn close to me and gotten me through another day, another day, another day, that I can just go, "Lord, I'm ready. Would you come?" Personal testimony is important. I think Enoch had a personal testimony. Well, he had a testimony that pleased God. Your daily testimony is so important. Enoch's testimony was unique, especially in such a world of sin. Enoch pleased God. It's a rare testimony today, a rare testimony in Enoch's day. Hard to please God. I was very angry over something that was said about, I won't even go, because I don't want you unfocused, I won't even tell you what the subject was, but I read something that was said about a controversial subject out there, and I got very angry about it, and bitter, and the person that had said it, I felt hate in my heart for what they said. It was so against God, and I felt like, man, I am standing on the right side of God by hating what they just said. And God said, "Yeah, but you don't hate what they just said. You hate them." Yeah. Amen. And I went, "Wow, you're right. I hope they get saved, Lord. I hope they get saved." You know what that'll help you do? That'll help free up a lot of bitterness inside you that will help you to draw closer to God. His testimony was unique. His testimony was unwavering. It was also uncommon in the land to have an unwavering testimony, just like today. Enoch wasn't willing to back up when times were hard. In fact, the more debauchery that Enoch faced, the closer he got to God. I mean, that should be a pattern for us. Don't we look at him as someone who was not because God took him, and then we kind of apply that to a Christian today? But we also ought to look at him too as the example, as in the debauchery that he faced in that time, pouring out of the land of Nod. He focused on God, did not back up, and drew closer to him. I want to finish close to God. You know what I've prayed many times? I said, "Lord, if I can't finish strong, if I'm going to slip away because of something, Lord, take me out. Don't let me be an embarrassment to my family. Don't let me be an embarrassment to the people that have invested time in me over the years. Lord, take me out of here before I can tear any of that up. I want to go out strong. I want to go out close to Him." Amen? I'm a little bit long. Please be patient. Enoch was a man favored by God, but it was because he was a man faithful to God. You don't have to turn there for time, but in Jude 14, you can read about his faithfulness and how it's revealed, and he was faithful in preaching. Amen? I was talking to this young man here, and he was talking about, I think you said, what you said to me is, "Well, I'm not a preacher." And then he began to tell me about him being a preacher.
And I said, well, that is, you know, literally the definition of a preacher is what you're doing. He is at the nursing home. He is at the nursing home preaching. You want to get in on a blessing? This is a side note. This is for free. I'm going to give you this. You want to get in on a blessing? Pray for him. You want to be a part of his ministry? Go up to the dollar store, because you love to go there. Buy you a big stack of cards that are encouraging. Write little notes in there that, and some Bible verses, praying for you, just stuff like that. Seal them up and give them to him. Let him take those and just hand those out to the nursing home. You know what that would do for somebody who's laying in a hospital bed? The family doesn't come and see him. Some preacher comes along, he hands him a card, amen, that says on there, hey, you don't know me, but I love you, and I'm praying for you. And then he just gets a chance to visit back by, and they say, well, thank you for that card. And it opens up a path for him to witness to them. Do you want to be a part of his ministry? Do you want to be close to God? You've got to do something. Enoch did something. He walked with God. Amen? I want to encourage you this week. I dare say I'd want to challenge you this week. Pray about that. Pray about that. Faithfulness is important to God. After all, Christ's been faithful to us. He's never let me down. He's never turned me away. He doesn't remind me of who I was.
Amen.
That's the devil.
Yeah.
He's been faithful. You know what Enoch knew? Enoch knew God was faithful. And he wanted to be just like him. You know, he's faithful even when we're not. In 2 Timothy 2:13 it says, we believe not, yet he abideth in faith. He cannot deny himself. I can't even count on, I don't have enough fingers and toes and to count how many times I've doubted what God was doing. But he abideth. Noah was faithful. Genesis 6:8 says, Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. You know why? He was faithful. You see the pattern? Noah followed instructions. He had to do something to be saved. Build an ark. And he did. Enoch's faithfulness was rewarded. We saw that. He was translated out of here. I'm just about done. Enoch's close walk was made up of his familiarity and his faithfulness to God. And I wrote down this hymn. It says, when we walk with the Lord in the light of his word, what a glory he sheds on our way. While we do his good will, he abides with us still, with all who will trust and obey. Yeah, that abiding, that's him abiding with us. That's not talking about if we don't do right, he leaves us and we lose salvation. It's talking about fellowship. Where she and I are in a camper a lot, for long stretches at a time out there in New Mexico. And it's very hard to get away from each other when fellowship isn't good. So you know what I have found? It's best to have good fellowship. Sometimes instead of arguing, I just have to go, hey, you're right. And sometimes when
she's wrong and she knows it. She just still tells me I'm wrong. And I accept that, so. I'm about done. I want to tell you a story, and then we're going to give you a few minutes here at the end of this to maybe just pray. I knew a woman in the nursing home. Her name was Miss Josephine. Miss Josephine was a black woman, and she was well into her late 90s. She used to come to our services, and she wore these great, big, huge flowered hats. And by now, she was didn't have a whole lot of her faculties left, but she loved preaching. Why she came to our services, I don't know. But she would amen me. And so we liked having her around. But one day when they were wheeling her out, a young man came walking up to me and he said, "Do you know who that woman is?" And I said, "No, I don't." And he goes, "That's Miss Josephine." He said, "When I was a little boy," he said, "she would ride the Middletown bus line to go to her cleaning jobs." And he said, "What she would do every night is she would sit down at her table with index cards and a pencil, and she would write out Bible verses, salvation Bible verses, and then she would tape a piece of candy onto it, and she'd have a whole bag of that, and when she got on that bus, she would hand everybody a piece of candy and a handwritten gospel tract." And that blew me away. This was in the 50s and the 60s, a time when someone with her color of skin probably wasn't treated as equal as what they are today. But you know what all she saw? She didn't see color of skin. She saw a soul that needed to be saved. You know where she was? Right in behind God. Probably to the point where you couldn't tell the two apart. One day, I'll be out of this wheelchair and I'll be a little different. I'll be able to push my way to the front. Amen? One day, I'm going to be over there and I'm going to be standing in line at the judgment seat of Christ. And I'll probably be way in the back because, you know, mine's going to probably be pretty bad. So I'll be sitting back there and I'm going to see, there goes Miss Josephine. She's next. And I'm going to push to the front. And they're going to start dumping all of those handwritten gospel tracts that she wrote out into a big bin, and they're going to roll it towards this great big pizza oven. And man, I'm going to get down here on the other side of that big pizza oven, and I'm going to watch those tracts come in and hit that fire. And watch all that gold and silver and precious stones pour out on the other end of that. She's gone home to be with the Lord. And I'll close with this. That's my desire. I'm ready to go home and be with the Lord. But I know He's not done. I know my walk's not done. You're still here this morning, so I know your walk's not done. And so we have a unique opportunity today to get in behind the Lord just as close as we can and draw up close to Him in fellowship. This is a new day, a new chance, a new start to draw close to Him.